It was really neat. I was listening to them, and when I was over at the Pacific Northwest Conference, we had PIC groups, P-I-C, Pastors in Community, because in Central Washington, same thing. You're way up in Oregon, Penobscot, down to Wenatchee, Yakima, Sunnyside. You're out there all by yourself. So quarterly, we'd get together, have lunch, and have a time of prayer. And it was always a blessed time to be able to share the frustrations and the loneliness. So I was really happy to hear that. As well, the last few meetings we've had where the superintendent came and we met in Opportunity Church, they talked a lot about soul health. And so, of course, at that time, they were directing that soul health to the pastors and the leaders. And they did talk about that at the beginning. But then they moved right into the health of the church. So I wanted to share and sort of expand on a list that we were given that Saturday, actually, about becoming a healthy church. And so I think being a healthy church, because I believe in a lot of ways we are a healthy church. But number one, healthy churches find what God is already doing in their context and they join him. I know that a lot of you way back in the day did Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. And that was his main thrust. Don't be always going out and trying to find something to do, but look, see what God is already doing. And then if you feel called to join them, then do it. And as he was talking, he explained, he says, you know, back in the day when he was growing up, he was a missionary kid. They were there Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He said, only had Saturday off. He said, when did we ever have an opportunity to reach the world? We were always in church. He says, so when people are going, oh, they're so busy, and I'm going to use Virginia. Don't you love me, Virginia? Virginia likes the bowl. And sometimes she's gone, and she also likes to play bingo. But a lot of us have things. We have mahjong, we have banco, right? Is that how you say it? But if we're intentional to be building relationships, and that's what it's all about. Over and over again, Lowell told us that, and I've said that. It's all about relationships. So as a body of Christ, we sit here and we think we're small. But we all have so many relationships out there. And if we're intentional and loving them for Jesus, things will happen. Number two, healthy churches create low shame, low judgment environments where struggling people feel welcome. Isn't that the truth? When you come in and you just feel loved in this church, accepted, doesn't matter what your past is or what you just did last night. Our church is a loving church. So if they're struggling, if they look really good when they first walk in and then later on we find out they're struggling, we still come alongside them, lift them up, encourage them. I think our church does well with that. Healthy churches maintain room for experimentation. I thought, if this isn't a perfect statement to say to you guys, change is coming. There will be changes in preaching style. There will be changes in music. Yes, music, people. You have got to say, I love my music, but we're not reaching me. We're reaching those people out there who have different heart music. We have different people out there who have different heart language. And we have got to change and say, who are we trying to reach? Somebody just like me? I learned this way back in Chihuahua before I went to Haiti. A Sunday school teacher said she was sick and tired of us wanting cookie cutter Christians. Okay. You better look just like me, and you better look like me, and you better look like me, you better look like me. And when you go out on the mission field, You're supposed to be going into that culture and finding Jesus there so that you can speak to them in their language. And there was a little story about how, oh, the missionary, you know, gets in the boat. And we're going to say, we're going down the Amazon. And we get to the village, and they got wild and crazy hair, and their music is loud, and the drums are beating. And we go, yay, what an opportunity to reach these people for Jesus. But they were using teenagers. And we go down the hallway, and we open the youth room door, or go out to the Quest house. And their hair is crazy, and their clothes are weird, and their music is too loud. And we go, oh, what's the matter with these kids? We've got to have that missionary mentality. We need to be flexible and willing to accept people where they are. Find the Jesus in their culture. I'm amazed at some of the missionary stories I'd read, how in Papua New Guinea, these people actually went through rituals where they birthed someone into the tribe. Made a little bunch of guys, and of course it was horrible because they beat them as they're going through it. But as they came out, then they were part of them. And he said, it was just like God said, it's like going through that birth canal. That baby's not feeling like, ooh, what a fun deal. Till it pops out. So we got to think of that. That birthing experience is not always fun, but we have to. I really didn't mean to do that. It was in it. All right. Number four. Healthy churches release people to come to be who they are. Every person who is called by God has unique talents to impact God's kingdom in an amazing way. I loved that statement. I am unique. I impacted you guys in ways that nobody else ever did. Bonnie impacts each one of you in ways that nobody else can. Each one of you I could say that about. And you know how I always tell you? Every time I think I get up here, I say, oh, the Holy Spirit worked this out. And sure enough, I got up, I opened my devotional book, and listen what it says. July 20th. Do not be afraid to be different from other people. The path I have called you to travel is exquisitely right for you. The more closely you follow my leading, the more fully I can develop your gifts. To follow me wholeheartedly, you must relinquish your desire to please other people. However, your closeness to me will bless others by enabling you to shine brightly in this dark world. And that's just what this Jason last week was saying. He said, if we see somebody get passionate about something, so Helen hears me talk a little blurb and sees a video on human trafficking and says, Carol, we got to do something. And we did, and we had the conference. She got passionate and she got behind something. And what happened? The church came behind us and supported us. They came and set up and tore down and did everything else, did the sound and the help me with video or PowerPoint, that stuff I didn't know. Logan and Kim were just awesome. And they were strong. But we have to be intentional. I want you to look around and listen. And when people say, oh, I'm going to go do this, and you think, oh, I'd rather you come to church. No, say, you know, I'm going to pray for you when you're there, that God can use you in a special way and touch those people. So, also, as we're impacting our world, we have got to know we can't just stay inside here. So, Chuck likes antique cars and trucks, and he's going to be in the parade. See, now I can imagine him saying, antique buff for Jesus, I don't know, something, but You know, we always can be intentional on what we can do. And we need to be seen. The most important thing is to be seen, which is really mean to be appreciated and valued for our unique set of gifts. I've had that in my heart to send you guys out those appreciation and encouragement cards because I wanted you to know you were seen. And how much I appreciated you. When I was down in World Impact, we learned, don't be a froggy church, be a lizard church. Well, those words aren't too cool. I don't want to be a lizard. But the whole idea is don't sit on that little water lily pad and sit there waiting for the flies to come. Go be going into the nooks and crannies. Just like Scripture says, go to the highways and byways and invite them in. You know, all these scriptures fit all this church planting and all these new missional statements. All they're doing is going back to the very beginning, to Scripture, and saying it in our language. And it says, and when it comes to giving ourselves completely to our unique grace, or as she said, exquisitely, we need to ask ourselves the question, what am I known for? But I want to extend that to us. What are we known for? I asked Debbie that when we were traveling on the way home. I said, what do you think our church is known for? But then we need to go a step further and say, what do we want to be known for? So I'm believing that as we're waiting and praying for a new pastor, we need to get together. There's got to be some meetings, not just board meetings, but church meetings, and saying, really, truly, what is the vision and goal of this church? What are our visions and goals, or what do we want the vision and goals of this church to be? Because when those new people come in and you get to listen to them, you might not be used to that preaching style. You might not be used to the music they want to bring. But none of that's as important as to know that you guys have the same vision and goals. And how are you going to know if they match if you haven't come up concretely in your hearts and minds what they are? So, a couple other statements that I just loved. Health needs to be intentionally pursued. So let's go back to individuals. They were talking about physical health, emotional health, and spiritual health. I had a lady saying, I read it. She said, I was raised in a family with chubby people, and I was chubby. But finally, as a teenager, I lost the weight. And through the last 30, 40 years, I've kept the weight off. And when people ask me, how do you keep it off? She says, I eat carefully and I exercise every day. And nobody wants to hear that. No, no. I ate cabbage soup for 2 weeks and I lost 50 pounds. But we do know the real way to stay healthy physically. And when we stay healthy physically, we do feel better emotionally. Spiritually, we need to exercise. I shared with the kids the very first soccer camp we had. I talked about from Scripture that, yes, exercise for the body is good. But it's not near as important as exercising our spirit, which is Bible reading and prayer. So yesterday we talked about prayer, how important it was, how you do it. And then I said, now, I have these little kids up in the mountains that are orphans that are being saved from human trafficking. Again, ever since we had the conference and tried to set up meetings and everything was falling apart. Every time we had another Freedom Sunday or every time I read something from the different coalitions I receive emails from, I just said, this isn't enough. I can't just give and I just can't pray. And now God's given me that opportunity. As I shared about what I'm doing, that third arm of my mission is going to be working with the house parents to make sure that they're encouraged to keep those kids learning about Jesus every day, that they are receiving the donor money that's being sent from the United States, and that I am going to help do Bible studies so the kids are excited about Jesus. And you think, well, I want to be like Seth said. He said he wanted to march in there, you know, and grab the kids out of the brothels and save them. But God said, no, I want you to prevent it. Let's get these little orphans before and get them raised up in Christian homes. And so that's exciting to see. So I can be passionate about that. And as I told you guys before, you can partner with me in your prayers. You'll be doing just as much for those little kids as I am. Health doesn't just happen in isolation, but in community. We need to have each other. We need to encourage one another. The whole idea of coming to church is not to hear a great sermon, to hear the awesome worship music that we love. But what are we doing to come in there and lifting other people up? What are we doing to be the encouragement God has called us to be? Health isn't monodimensional, but whole life. Every facet of our life, we need to be asking God to show us how to be really healthy. And then as we're healthy, raising people up to be healthy, then our church will be even healthier than it has been. Because we're not stagnant, we're not going to stay, because they say you can't stay in a plane, you start falling down. You've always got to be moving up. So you always have to be striving to be healthy and being healthy together. Now, a lot of these pastors, I'm amazed, they're like super, they're known even beyond Ironman triathlons. They do 100-mile thingies, you know, and I'm going, wow. And yet, when they talk about it, they're spending time with God. So it doesn't matter what you're doing as you're physically trying to be healthy. You can be feeding your spirit at the same time, listening to worship music as you're running, you know, 1 mile instead of 100. But the last little statement he said was so good to me, because you look at some of these guys and they're in great shape. And, you know, I look at girls and think, oh, I want to be like her. But health is not perfectionism. It's freedom. You want to feel good enough to be able to do what God is calling you to do. So I love the whole idea of soul health in the church. That this body that I love so much is going to be growing and becoming more and more what God is calling each of you to be. So that I just want you to be able to grasp that amazing, unique grace he has for you. I have a song. It fits. When I was in Thailand, I heard it once. But when I came back to the U.S., I read it in... I can't think of the guy who sings it. It made it popular in the United States. However, he didn't write it, even though everybody thinks he did. But it was an Irish Christian group when he was over there in some passion worship circuit. And they actually were requested to go to Bangkok. And they went to a brothel in the bar area. And they started playing this song. And when I came back and was just starting pastoring the Sunnyside Church, all I could think of is Sunnyside is drugs and gangs. I mean, 3 or 4 killings every summer and then 2, 3 the rest of the year. And I said, we need to claim this city for God. And so as I go back, where human trafficking is so more prevalent, we think, except I was hearing yesterday from a lady there at our soccer camp that she's hearing more and more about how it's growing in the United States. But we've got to remember that He is our God and He is our King, and greater things are yet to be done.
You're the God of this city, you're the King of these people, you're the Lord of this nation. You're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. Is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. You're the God of this city, you're the King of this people, you're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like I.
I choose to believe wholeheartedly that when I come back to see you guys in 2 years, that I'll be able to say greater things in Yangon, greater things in Bangkok and Pattaya, and greater things you're going to tell me happened right here in Bonner's Ferry. I walked into the ladies' bathroom at that church in Boise and loved this quote that was sitting on a little plaque. And I was brought it into the meeting I was in after the conference was over, and they asked me to read it as a closing to our meeting. And so I wanted to close my time here. Live simply, love generously, serve faithfully, speak truthfully, pray daily, leave everything else to God. Thank you.